Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the show, I'm joined by Fred Segal. You probably know him better as Old Takes Exposed or Freezing Cold Takes on Instagram and Twitter. He runs the Twitter and Instagram account that finds people's terrible sports opinions, their projections, their predictions from in the past, and reruns them, retweets them, posts them on Instagram. I was, of course, a victim of the account last week during the horrible, awful NFL draft where the Chiefs took Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the first pick of the with their first pick in the first round, so pick 32 overall. And Fred and I got into a conversation on Twitter. I actually thought it was pretty interesting. I think this is a pretty interesting podcast about the nature of truth online and just what it means to be right, what it means to put opinions out there in the age of Donald Trump and everything. I thought it was an interesting conversation. I hope that you guys enjoy it. If you want bonus episodes of the show, you can get them on patreon.com/takecast, and you can also support the show by leaving a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen. That's very helpful, very useful. Now let's go ahead and get into the episode. All right, everyone, bringing in the man himself. You probably know him better as Freezing Cold Takes, Old Takes Exposed. Mr. Fred Segal or Segal?
Segal.
Fred Segal. So I got Freezing Cold Takes, and very typical to my character. I didn't like it, right? But I didn't like being roasted basically by the internet, and also very typical. I refused to take the L. So instead of taking the L, I continued the conversation and invited you on the podcast, and I feel very lucky to have you agree to come on the show. How often do people does that happen often where people just refuse to take the L and then it ends up in a larger discussion?
It hasn't happened as much in the past few years. It happened a lot at the beginning. It depends. A lot of the times, I happened to catch yours. I didn't mute a lot of times I mute the conversation now. I retweet something because it just blows up my mentions, so I don't see somebody talking about me. I don't know how it got to where I saw someone talking about me. Maybe I didn't mute it. I'm not sure. But I usually do, so I don't. It doesn't happen as much, but it happens sometimes. I don't think there's – a lot of the times people aren't as willing to discuss it. They're just sure. They just want to get upset and that's it. And then with those people, I kind of just don't really engage at all. But, it doesn't happen as much anymore. It happened a lot more kind of at the beginning when I first started doing this, when it first became, big, when it first started to grow. So, when I first started doing it, I was blocked by people because I had like 700-800 followers,
right?
And it seemed like I was just a random troll instead of like a bigger troll. So
Right. Okay. So I think that's actually what I'm most interested in, is how the process has changed. Because I think, I mean, the idea of holding people accountable, I mean, like, it, like, who is actually going to say, like, it's a bad idea to keep people accountable, right? So I am wondering, how has the process changed from when you had 500, 600 followers, you know, 1,000 followers? Is it, you know, how has it changed? Are you more selective now? Are you targeting, you know, bigger accounts more? Or is it actually the reverse, where, like, what's even the use of retweeting old Skip Bayless takes? Like, he doesn't care. No one cares. Everyone knows Skip Bayless is wrong all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, a guy like Skip Bayless is very limited. Because guys like that, when we talk about holding people accountable, with him, the genuineness of his takes are always in question. And many are of the theory that he's doing this to create attention for himself. So in retweeting his tweet, I wouldn't be holding him accountable. I'd actually be promoting.
Yeah, you'd be
exactly
signal boosting.
What he wants. Exactly right. What he wants. So in that regard, I don't use him as much because it's easy and it's kind of like it's cheap. I do try to go for the biggest accounts or anyone with a blue check, because I feel like anyone with a blue check has to be somebody who can take a hit, or somebody who's involved in the media, who's involved mm-hmm. in analysis, who's involved. So like when someone sent me your tweet, you didn't have a blue check. I don't know why you don't. I'm just making funny for that.
But, no, it's absurd that I don't. You have any idea how much it tilts me? It makes me so upset that I don't. I've applied for verification from this stupid website so many times. They actually just don't. They don't. They're not doing it anymore. They just aren't really giving them out anymore. It's very frustrating.
So yeah. So with you, I had to press. Like someone said to me, I probably pressed. I don't remember because I get a lot. But I pressed. Probably pressed on your account. And like saw your profile and saw that you were a writer, a person who's involved in fantasy football. So you're fair game. And then, but like if you were just like a person who had 10 followers and just said big Chiefs fan or something.
Yeah. Then what's the point?
Then I probably wouldn't have done it. It depends on how funny the tweet is, but rarely do I do that. But I think that, the process has changed a lot. It has to do with a lot. Has to do with entertainment value too.
Sure.
So yeah, and the quality of the cold take, the bigger the account, but depending on the popularity of the sport. So a Monday night college basketball game between Iowa and Illinois, where someone says, "I think Illinois is going to win," and Iowa wins. That's not good.
Yeah. Who cares? Yeah,
that's just
right.
Like,
yeah, that's
cares?
Not entertaining. Right.
Not entertaining at all. There's something really big has to happen in that game for me to post, because college basketball is a niche in general. I think that it has to be NFL, anything pretty much can, anything goes, but you have to really, it has to be bold. It has to be more bold than, it has to be like the one that you said about, that was hilarious. Just the way it was presented. Given what Patrick Mahomes has done.
Oh, it's insanely fun. Like, it's so funny, right?
The way the whole thing is presented in the tweet. Sometimes you can be saying something that was hilariously wrong, but it just wasn't presented funny in the tweet. But if someone says something like, this guy's no chance of going to the Packers, who do you think you guys are complete idiots to think the Packers would ever take a quarterback in the first round? Someone who says
right.
that other people are going to be complete idiots. That's great. So it depends. Fantasy football, for you, I'm not that big on fantasy football. I think you guys do it a lot. You pick all these players. You're bound to get at least one or two wrong.
A lot more than one or two wrong, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, entertainment value comes into play. So if you take a player and you say that, I don't know, like, keep Jay Ajayi on the bench today. I have no faith in Jay Ajayi, like, whatever. And then Jay Ajayi gets, like, 3 touchdowns and 100 yards in the first half. That's a retweet. Not, I mean, just for entertainment value alone. Like, during the game. You're saying,
yeah.
But normally, unless it's something like that, I'm not going to do fantasy football as much. It's just not. I don't do college football recruiting. It's just a whole can of worms with that. These players, these college football kids just decommit and commit all the time. And you're talking about 18-year-old kids. So,
right.
So stuff like that, it has to be bigger now. I get a lot of suggestions. A lot.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the snitch tagging? I have to, so like that to me seems annoying, but I'm sure it is less work for you when you get it.
Well, it's good and it's bad, because sometimes I'll get the same one. I get the same ones over and over and over again.
Over and over. Annoying. Yeah.
But the snitch tagging, that's the thing that more than being cold taked, that's what bothers media the most by far.
See, that actually doesn't bother me personally.
If they say anything interesting whatsoever, even remotely interesting, even if it's something I would never use, people will tag me under it. And I'll get like 50 tags of me. So that really bothers them a lot. I've seen a lot of media really post something about that and really talk about how that bothers them. So that's really something that is the snitch tagging. That type of snitch tagging, the old takes exposed snitch tagging, there's two different types of snitch tagging. There's the old takes exposed snitch tagging, and then there's the, which is one form of snitch tagging that people hate. But I personally think, and I guess I'm biased, but the other form of snitch tagging is when somebody is subtweeting somebody or talking bad about somebody and doesn't tag them, and then you go under and tag them so they can see it and start a fight.
Yeah, I mean, that's very annoying.
That's like the different type of snitch tagging. So there's two types of snitch tagging. Mine's a little bit more playful, but I get that a lot. I mean, I get it a lot. I get a lot of DMs.
Do you feel like your account has changed the discourse? Because like what you're saying, if you tweet a bold take as someone with a blue check mark who has 500,000 followers, you know, under that tweet, all the people that are a fan of the team that you are disparaging or the team picking against or whatever, everyone is going to tag your account. And
right
so
away.
I'm wondering if you feel that the existence of the freezing cold takes account has changed the discourse at all, or if so, do you feel that the change to the discourse is good, bad, or neutral?
Well, I think it has on Twitter. I think there's a lot of people who think about what they're going to write in terms of if they're going to post something, in terms of like what would happen if something happened after. I mean, but I still get a lot of material, so it still hasn't changed that much. I think that in some ways it's good. I think that in terms of weeding out, you want to weed out the strong from the meek. So like, I think that people have a lot of respect for people who have strong opinions and don't care whether anything's going to happen afterwards. And those people get, regardless of the fact that they're going to get flamed by a strong amount of people, they're going to get flamed as always being wrong. Even so, those type of people are going to be the most successful in terms of people who make takes for a living or do analysis for a living, not just like blanket journalists who are covering the beat. But it probably does have a little bit of a chilling effect on what people are going to say. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I do think it's definitely changed in terms of Twitter and maybe outside of Twitter. But these talk shows that are on the daily talk shows, I don't think I've done anything to change that. Those people make a living off doing what they do. So they don't care. And I think it does have an effect. Certainly, it's changed the way a lot of people think. Definitely.
Yeah.
Tag me just so they don't get all the tags. They'll make a bold take and they'll tag me.
Oh yeah, so like to like head it off, right? To head it off, yeah. They'll be like, okay, I'm freezing cold taking this, so you can't do it first.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or they'll do it. Yeah, they'll do it right away, just so when they make a take, they'll do it, and then no one will tag me under them. So
yeah.
that's
okay. So I have I think what is a really interesting question, which is you specifically note in the header to the Twitter account that you don't do political tweets. And I wonder what you feel the role of the account is in Donald Trump's America, because truth and saying something that was wrong a week ago or a month ago, it seems to not matter in politics now. And, you know, I'm wondering if just keeping the account, you know, no politics on the account, I'm wondering if that's personal choice. You think that it would overwhelm the account? Like, I'm wondering, you know, what the concept of truth online has changed over the last 3 years.
Well, I think it's different in the way that people view the Donald Trump thing. I think Donald Trump, a lot of people would be more upset that Donald Trump is saying something that just isn't truthful whatsoever and not being held accountable in terms of important being the president. People are upset that Donald Trump can get away with doing all these things, as opposed to what I do is people are not really, it's not really truth or fiction. It's just a prediction.
Yeah.
So getting a prediction wrong, holding accountable, is really just making fun of them, because getting a prediction wrong shouldn't have any effect on the way they do things. But Donald Trump, people want to see him change.
Right.
So it's different. I think that in that regard, it's different. When it comes to no politics, I don't do it because, first of all, I don't know. There's just so many reasons. I did it. I used to do it when I first started the account, and it was right near the election time. And I think that when I did it, I would get, first of all, it opened up a huge can of worms, because I would get, I never wanted it to be a center of the account.
Right.
So if I'm doing one or two a day, then, but I'm getting like so many of these suggestions, I don't know which ones to use. And then I feel like I have to balance it out between this dude, Democratic senator, and then Donald Trump, or something like that, you know? So I have to balance out like who I'm gonna use, or else I'm gonna be seen as somebody who's only doing these type of politicians. And I don't want to do that, first of all. Second of all, I don't really study politics. So every time I used to, so someone would say some sort of policy, someone would send me something that was like a policy-driven, what they believed was wrong, I would retweet it. And then all these other people who were supporters of the politician that I retweeted would say, no, that's not cold take at all, because they'd cite some sort of statistic. That
right, exactly.
So yeah. It's like a gray area. So what is it? So unless it's a true fact, like Donald Trump's going to lose the election and he won the election, it's really hard to and I don't even know the answer to it. So, second of all, by the time I'm done with the politics, everyone's going to hate me on the board, because they're so emotional. It's like everyone gets so emotional about any little thing that has to do with politics is posted. And I don't, as someone who doesn't really follow it, I don't really care. I don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with it. And I think people like it. Like I just like serving the people in terms of like the sports stuff, or maybe outside, a little outside of sports, I don't have anything to do with politics. I don't feel like I'm the type of person who needs to be the guy who holds people accountable for politics. And Trump also falls under the Bayless category. I mean, by the time I get
to I mean, yeah, like Trump is not going to be mad. Yeah.
By the time I get to a Trump tweet and retweet it, it's already been around and seen by 10,000 people. It's already been retweeted by 10,000 people already. Everyone sees those. So it's really, I mean, I'll do politicians about a sports take, but not,
sure.
Yeah, but not like, so Trump once said that Johnny Manziel is going to be great. That's a good one to use. I'll use that, because it's really not going to bother anybody. I mean, some people get mad because they get really upset anytime I would post anything about Trump. But I mean, it works both ways. And I think that it's just so emotional, and it's just, I'm just not the guy for it. I just don't care that much about it. So, I mean, I'm just kind of like trying to adopt something that I don't really even want to talk about in the first place. So that, all those reasons like combined, it's just if you're going to do politics, you have to make a strictly politics account. And you're probably better off doing just one side.
You're not gonna both sides, right? You're not gonna go find Nancy Pelosi it's a whole hassle.
You might as well tailor to one group of people, because it's just not gonna work. I mean
those accounts basically exist already.
Balance in politics is just in political commentary is not a sell. From what I see, it's not a sell, even though everyone demands it.
Right,
it doesn't sell well. So like I said before, with Trump and the truth and the Trump like truth not mattering, maybe that's true, but like I don't think what I do matters in the grand scheme of things. Like me retweeting your post has no effect on your job or your living or your well-being. It's just everyone knows that you're gonna miss, and they don't care. I mean, as long as you're putting out content that people think is thoughtful, it's not gonna have an effect.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is likely true. Okay, what is the general reaction these days to being freezing cold take? You know, I will freely admit I didn't particularly enjoy the experience, but it does come with the arena. And one of the points you made was true, which is that, the feedback that you get at the time of the take is oftentimes, just as bad as it is when you retweet it, right? Like it's not like the original reactions to many of the opinions was nice and calm and everything. So kind of what is the general reaction to someone getting retweeted by the account?
Well, nowadays it's not as bad. I think people are very familiar with what I think it's humbled. I think it humbles people and makes them understand they're not as important as they really are, or they don't have to take themselves seriously. So I think that second part is actually more of what I'm trying to say. They shouldn't take themselves so seriously. I think people understand now what it's like if you, what you look like if you kind of snap back at it. So if you snap back at it, you're going to look petty, and you're going to look like you're gonna look stupid. I mean, people aren't going to take it very well. People aren't going to think it looks good. So the better move is to just laugh at it, and then you look perfectly great, because it makes you look human. It makes you look like you don't take yourself very seriously. At the beginning, there was a lot more people telling me how much I suck and like all these things about it. a lot of ad hominems about like how big of a loser I am and things like that. But blocks. I mean, I have so many blocks. People block me. A lot of them I don't even realize that I'm blocked until someone tries to tag me under them and I can't see it. But I think that now it's a lot more people just like taking the L. But people, there's still always the person who gets mad.
I mean, that was me. I hate taking L's in general, right? Like, yeah. I don't enjoy the experience. And I also am, this is a huge character flaw of mine, but like I will sit there and argue with like egg accounts with like 36 followers. I would say if there was like one thing I could change about myself, it would definitely be the self-control to just not engage with these complete losers online.
Because you're never going to win. I think with you, it's a different type of L. There's two different types of. I mean, there's two different types of way of reacting and not taking the, just taking it. Some is arguing that
you weren't wrong.
Oh, you weren't that wrong, or everybody thought that, or
yeah,
Like to be fair type stuff.
To be fair, I mean, this is my personal opinion. I think the to be fair is way more cringy than my response, which is just like, this sucks to be roasted.
Well, yeah, you kind of went geared towards making fun of the account, so, or criticizing the account. That's another way people understand that they were wrong, but then they criticize the account. You kind of did it in a little bit more direct way. You didn't really do the whole, a lot of people kind of just do the whole like childish, like you're a loser. Get a life or something like
yeah,
that.
I don't think that the existence of the account is bad. I don't think that you running it, I get it. I get the purpose that it serves. It's just as someone in the business of making predictions, getting owned sucks, right? Like getting just like sucks. That's just the long and short of it.
There's a lot of people who don't like me, and they made it perfectly clear they don't like me. I think most of those people are very serious. Is that they're important. They're really important. They provide valuable information. They work really hard to provide valuable information for people, and they're very important, and they're useful to the world. And I'm not. And I'm just a troll who just retweets their stuff when they're wrong. And that's kind of their opinion of the whole thing. That's how the vibe I get. And that's how I think that they are. I think that, but I think if he just lightened up, it would be best of both worlds for everybody.
So if I can take the other side, this is what I would say. I would say that specifically when you're in fantasy football, DFS, gambling, when you're in that world, you actually are already instituting your own penalties on yourself for being wrong, which is that you're going to lose money. And also, you know, many of these guys are in the business of they sell their rankings, their projections, so on and so forth. If the rankings, the projections, those things are bad, they're naturally going to get less business. And also, I think there would be the perception from that side of the aisle, which is actually sort of what I believe, which is that when you make predictions on basically everything that happens in a sport, whether that be football, basketball, hockey, whatever, you're going to get some things laughably wrong. And it feels very trite when one of the things you get laughably wrong gets laughed at by loads of people. But then, you know, it's not like as if there is a huge groundswell for getting something absurdly correct, right? That would be the position.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that plays into it. I don't think I've done a lot of fantasy. I don't think anything I posted of his fantasy was just general commentary on players. I think he was anti.
So this was a criticism when you retweeted me, which was that people, and I was like, you know, I think that there this could be construed as bullying, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But the feedback I got was like, oh, well, Davis, you do that to people sometimes too.
Right.
And what I would say is absolutely I do. I don't feel bad about it. 100% of the time, it's when people who have came at me first. Right. And that is, and whether, I mean, you could say that is good justification. That's bad justification. You're doing mental gymnastics just so you can dish it out, but then get mad when someone tries to give it back to you.
I don't play fantasy. Like I don't do it. I don't have the attention span for it. So, I think it might
be a very interesting experience for you. If you ever gave it a shot.
I used to do it with my dad. It was a great activity for us. But it was not as fast paced as it is now. We used to call in the lineups and things like that. I mean, I was doing it in 1991. I remember the first pick in the draft was Thurman Thomas. And there was like a phone service you did to call in. But then I stopped doing it. I just couldn't pay attention. I think that, and I hate it when people always ask me for trades. Like a lot of people dish it out. And I think that, even so, I still don't think it's as important as it to be wrong. So like, it's not as important, like Brad Evans, who's serious, Brad Evans from Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
He takes it L very well.
Yeah. Brad is very good at taking L's.
So And I don't know if that really affects like his credibility.
I don't think it affects his credibility, but I do think so what I think is that once you open yourself up to being wrong publicly, I do think that the way people perceive your advice changes a little bit. And there are some people, and maybe this would be something that I should try and take a little bit more to heart, but there are people who mostly just keep their advice and their opinions and their predictions to their articles, to their projections, to their rankings, and mostly make like anecdotal observations on Twitter. And when you put more of the stuff that is, you know, quote unquote behind the paywall, that's more actionable, right, you put more of that stuff on Twitter, you open yourself up to getting the dunks, right, basically.
The stuff that's behind the paywall is really, I'm never going to see unless someone sends it to me. It has to be really good to post. But I think that, and there's certain people who are like that. And they'll always react poorly. And they'll always be upset with somebody tagging me. But most of the time, there's not that many people like that. If they do hate the account, they don't say anything. Sometimes people get mad that they think that they've been shortchanged. Like, it wasn't that bad. It was a reach, stuff like that, which I'll recognize if it is. But most of the time it's people tagging that's really, really gets done. I see a reply, what's the take? And it's not to me, it's to somebody who tagged me, and I get the reply.
Yeah.
So they're arguing with them, but... Yeah, I think things have changed a lot, but there's some people who just can't help arguing. They can't help it.
That's me. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you ran the account. It doesn't matter if someone with six followers was retweeting the account. I literally could not help myself from arguing with them.
Yeah. So they can't help it, and then you. Yeah, so those type of people, even if they like it. Even if they don't respond bad, they still can't help but argue with somebody who, mostly somebody who tells them that they're stupid, like in the replies. Oh, you're the worst. Ha, ha, ha. Then they'll go, I'm the worst because I got one wrong? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a productive use of time. Like, and okay, I will say I have certainly improved in that aspect of just like, you know, everyone with an emoji avatar or a dog in their avatar or whatever, you know, like I'm a little bit better. Well, so what I do now is I mute people. I don't block them, but I just mute them so that, you know, forever they can hate on my tweets and just howl into the void. And that's like over like the last year I've started doing that, and I think it's saved me a lot of heartache.
I use the mute sometimes too of people who get mad, who overanalyze anything that I post. Yeah, you can use the mute, and then you won't see them, or you mute the conversation right away to avoid having to deal with what people say, or having the itch to try to argue with what people say. So that's probably what I do the most.
Yeah. All right. So the point that I was making when we were talking on Twitter was not that I think that you are a bully, but that I think that the discourse on Twitter specifically, I don't think it exists. I don't get on Facebook and I don't use Instagram, but I feel like it is very insular to Twitter, that like Twitter is just vicious, right? People on Twitter are just negative, and I don't know what it is about the platform that makes it that way. And I wonder if in any of these instances, you know, you throw some bad tweet out there and people are just being just vicious to this, you know, person X, Y, or Z in their responses to it. Like, has there ever been a moment where you've been like, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, or this has gone too far, or X, Y, or Z? And I mean, if you haven't, like, I'm not accusing you of saying you are bullying these people online. I am actually curious.
Well, if it's a random person, yes. But they'll either delete the tweet, or they'll delete the tweet altogether, and then I'll stop. I won't do anything. Or they'll mute the conversation. And the fact that you can mute the conversation now is I don't feel bad at all. I've never felt bad, to be honest, with anyone who's in media or anything like that. Maybe sometimes with a woman, because they'll
If you're retweeting some woman who is wrong about football, I guarantee you the replies to that are like criminal, 100%.
Kitchen, all that stuff. But I mean, look. Should I just not do it?
Is it your fault that everyone on Twitter is an awful, horrible misogynist?
Well,
no,
not just that, but it's not that. It's just like, yeah, well, of course, but like it's not just that. It's like, if there's a person who's involved in football, like I just heard two on from Jeanine Edwards or something like one, if it's from like Laura Rutledge or any of those people, they do this for a living. So they should be involved. I mean, they should be. Why hold them to a different standard? I should retweet their funny old takes. I think that they're used to it. I'm sure they're used to it. I'm sure they get the same posts every single time they say anything. So that's what kind of makes me like, you know, they could handle it. They don't care. And I think that they're used to it. So I don't really have that much of a, but I do think about it when I do it, that they're going to get that kitchen stuff. But people really get on to the people who do it in the mentions too. So they'll get criticized in the mentions, the people who write that kind of stuff.
I will say the one small, like every once in a while in one of these situations, whether it be just responses to someone's tweet who's wrong, something you've retweeted, I do see more now the people who are like, you know, doing the online policing, right, of being like, is this really what you want to be saying, like type stuff. So maybe a slight redemption for online humanity there.
I've seen every bad thing people could say, but look, if you're going to be on Twitter, you're going to get it coming. That episode's going to come right.
That is true.
Just know it. It's just like you just have to accept the fact that that's what it's going to be. It's just going to be that way. If you can't handle it, you better get off. Because it's not just going to be my retweeting the old thing. And you're posting something. Like, if you post something, I'm sure you know, if you post something and if you rated Deshaun Watson fifth in fantasy quarterback and posted that, you're going to get great people. Texans fans are going to go after you just for that and call you names.
Yeah. So,
That could be worse than you posting the cold take.
It is crazy how much these fans go wild. So I actually root for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm like very happy when they do well, but there is a segment of Chiefs fans online who really don't like me and who go and dig up my old tweets because I was very critical of their 2019 offseason. Like, basically, I just thought they wasted a ton of their draft picks, didn't prepare the defense, and, you know, none of it matters because Patrick Mahomes is the best player ever. But these people, despite their team winning the championship and me like being like, yeah, this is awesome, this is great that they won, they're still just like trying to own me because I was wrong about the way that they were going to win. Like the tribalism stuff in sports, it really is. It's the same as with politics, except with, instead of two different sides, there's 32 different sides.
Right, right. Although politics is significantly more emotional. I mean, people are, yes, they are personally, more personally triggered about anything that has to do with politics than anything. And it's just, I cannot stand it. I don't want to be involved in it. That's another reason why I don't do it. But I think, well, college football is the worst when it comes to.
Oh yeah,
you
people
say
are
anything
even, then,
about
yes.
college football, and if you post something about a player, like if you posted like Deshaun Watson sixth rank, you're not just going to get Texans, you're going to get all the Clemson people too. So
that is 100% true. College football. Right. If you say something bad about a college football player, it's five times worse than anything of an NFL player.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right. And I mean, that type of stuff you're just going to get all the time. And I'm sure that those Kansas City Chiefs fans hate you because you're not pumping sunshine about everything. And if you're looked as kind of like a traitor, if you're not pumping sunshine about everything that someone's doing. So like, yeah, it's similar to like politics. So if you're critical of the president, like when Obama was president, you're critical of the president, then, and you're supposed to be like a commentator, a left-leaning commentator, you're going to get crapped on by people. People are going to say that you're a traitor. And it's the same way with, it's certainly the same way with Trump. Any type of politician or anything who says one thing is anti-Trump, the Trump army, the people who love Trump, are going to be really pissed off at that person. And it's like, so that's probably where you're at, because you're not pumping complete sunshine into the Kansas City Chiefs sphere. So it's automatic hated.
Yeah,
and that's where we were at with this. And fans of the teams are going to always defend their team in every which way, shape, or form. And that's when they remember the takes, your takes, and they're going to send me your takes. And I get that with Iowa football. I get that with Gonzaga basketball, any of it. Like, those fans, diehard fans, will remember anything anybody said about them. And then when the time comes where it's the take has matriculated into wrongness, matured into wrongness, they will send it. I'll be the first thing they think of.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even, you know, I can't even I would actually be really interested to see like a graph of takes that generate mentions of your account. I would imagine college football, it's got to be three times higher than anything else.
No, NFL's the most.
Really?
Because college football is only really, really, really big if it's the big teams.
Yeah, so Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, if it's a Mississippi State take, I'll get like 500,000 Ole Miss people retweeting it.
Yeah.
But that's it.
One else cares.
And it has to be like, but NFL, anything related to certain group of players or just anything related to the Cowboys, I mean, any team in the NFL is good. NFL is the biggest by far. But Cowboys, but there's certain players who are just automatic in any sport. Like, there's certain players. Odell Beckham Jr., anything about him. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant.
Odell Beckham actually inspired me to – that's the most thing I've deleted tweets about, because I thought he was going to not be good. And people – I mean, this is – he came out in 2014. That was when he was a rookie. It's 2020 now. Far and away, the thing I get nagged on the most is not thinking Odell Beckham was going to be good. That was probably the first time people started to send my tweets to your account. And, like, I actually just deleted those tweets because I was like – look, yes, I thought he was bad. It's been 6 years. I'm tired of talking about it.
Well, you're tired of getting it sent around and sent to you as if it's new. And I get that a lot, where people send me something, well, look at this, and I've already posted it like six times. And,
right.
But people tag you, what do you say about this? And you've addressed it like 600 times. And Greg Berdard from formerly of Sports Illustrated, said that I just don't see it. Gronkowski from Arizona? I don't see that at all. He said that in April of 2010. It still goes around like crazy. It's like the ultimate. And he doesn't react to it well. He never reacted to it well from the beginning. So we don't care. We just so there's someone's stuff like that that just go around. But I think that that's the type of thing that gets other people annoyed too, when they get sent the same one they've already addressed and made fun of themselves for over and over.
And yeah, anyone listening to this, if you feel the need to tell me that I didn't think Odell Beckham was going to be good, I remember. Trust me, we're good. We're good on that. I don't need to be reminded. I remember, and I was wrong.
Yeah. It's something that. I get it all the time. I get it more than anything. So check this out. Checked out this Greg Berdard post. I was like, yeah, it's like one of my most popular posts ever. I feel it. I feel that people
are going to get annoyed. They're going to see the same one that they've kind of addressed over and over again. And if you mute that tweet, then you probably won't see it. Mute the conversation on that tweet, you probably won't see it. But yeah, or they use it against you if you make a comment. Like you said, that if you say something like just, you know, thoughtful analysis about a certain player, then someone replies back, "Oh, the same guy who said Odell Beckham wasn't going to be good? Okay, I won't."
Right. Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, thank you very much for the time. I thought this was a good conversation. I hope people take something from it. Other than that, I refuse to take L's. And anything you want to promote, anything you want people to check out, anything like that.
No, you just follow me. Old Takes Exposed, and I'm at Freezing Cold Takes on Instagram, which is Instagram. Actually, people are meaner on Instagram for sure, but you're more insulated from it. Like if I posted a cold take about you on Instagram, you're not going to get You're not going to get tagged to it all the time, or have to see the comment.
Yeah.
So that's what's different.
There we go. All right. Well, Fred Zagal, thank you very much for coming on the show. Good luck. Stay safe during COVID-19. And yeah, everyone, hope you enjoyed listening.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.